Welcome to the Stonebridge Church Podcast. Watch us live every Sunday morning at 9:30 or 11:05 a.m. at gosblive.com. Or visit us in person. You can find directions at gostonebridge.com. Connect with us on our social media at facebook.com/gostonebridge and our Instagram at sbchurch.
So for the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about coming out of quarantine. And as you can see, we're starting to make our move because we're back on the stage here at Stonebridge Church, and we're making some changes. In fact, to be honest with you, I love the changes. I mean, there's nothing more fun for me than moving forward, making changes, making some progress. And it reminds me that when you go into quarantine, what comes out of quarantine will be different. It's always different. What goes in is never the same as what comes out. And most of the time, what comes out can surprise us, even catch us off guard. If you think about so many places in the Bible where men and women were put in times of quarantine, Israel was at this time that we're talking about also, when they came out, they weren't the same anymore. Joshua is not the same when they go into the 40 years in the wilderness and when he comes out and now he has to be the leader. Moses wasn't the same. Remember Moses' life, for the first 40 years, he's a Pharaoh in training in Egypt, and then he goes into quarantine, into the wilderness, and Moses comes out a very different person. All of the things that were prideful for him before, that he put his confidence in before, all of those things are gone. He has to find a new confidence. Even Joseph, who takes them into Egypt, think about it, 17-year-old, sold by his brothers into slavery. He is the favored son of his father, Jacob, but for the next 13 years, all of that's gone. None of that matters. And he becomes a very different person. I think it works this way as we go in. You're either going to become more fearful through quarantine, and you're going to become more isolated, and somehow the small, petty fears of life that tend to try to dominate us become more dominant. Or as you go into quarantine, you come out and all of a sudden it's different. You don't let those things bother you the same way they bothered you before. You have a new confidence, a new hope in your life that God has used to change you and make you a different person. I remember when I went off to college for the very first time. My brother had the car, so if I wanted to go, I had to ride with him. And he had to go a week early. So as I went off to the university for the very first time, it was me in a little dorm room with a Sears Silvertone guitar, a few books, my Bible, and a notebook. I'd not been a believer for very long, maybe a year and a half in my life. And there, in that 1 week of being alone, no television, really no friends, anyone around, never saw my brother the entire week. I only had God to talk with, and I only had my Bible to read and a few other books, and I learned to work on and play the guitar to some extent, and changes occurred in my life so that when the university started a week later, I really was a different person. I still vividly remember walking down the avenues of the university with 20,000 other students all of a sudden there and feeling as if I wasn't alone, that God Himself was walking with me. I don't know what God is taking you through during this time, but here's what I can promise you. You'll go one way or the other. You will either become more isolated and more fearful in life, or you will learn, a lot of times through some difficult times and some pain, to believe and to trust God in a way that you never have before. And that's a really good thing. So I want to take you back to the book of Joshua. This is the second chapter in the book of Joshua. If you remember, we've looked at what God charged Joshua to be brave, to be courageous, to find his strength in God. In fact, we talked about 2 weeks ago that tends to be where a person finds strength and courage, when it's real strength and courage, in God Himself, not in the old things that they used to look for to give them courage, but now in God Himself. And this is what Joshua finds. And then we also talked about last week how fear actually has a real important part in your life. God uses a new fear, a fear of Him, a respect for Him, a trust in Him, to change the way you live your life and you approach your life. So let me set up the second chapter for you. In chapter number 2, they're getting ready to take Jericho. So Joshua sends in 2 spies, and they're to cross over the Jordan River. They're camped about 7 miles to the east of the Jordan. They're to cross over the Jordan. They have to go north to do this, to find a place to cross the Jordan River. And then they would go down toward Jericho, and they actually come in on the west side of Jericho. And these 2 spies go into the city, and it says that they found a place to stay in the very first verse, in the house of Rahab the harlot. Now, I know that may sound strange. I mean, the first time I ever read it, I thought, well, how could God use the house of a prostitute? But God has His plans, and God does things that are kind of amazing to us and miraculous to us. They're staying there in the house, and the king of Jericho, he knows that Israel, this large group of people, is over on the east side of the Jordan River, and he knows they have sent spies. So he sends his spies into the city, and they find out that these 2 spies have gone to stay in Rahab's house. So they go to Rahab's house, and they ask where those spies are. And Rahab does an amazing thing. She lies to them. She lies to her own king, his representatives, and says, yes, I don't know who they were. I don't know where they came from. They were here. When the city gates were closing last night, they left through the gates. I don't know where they've been, but if you go now, you probably can catch up with them. Now, why Rahab does this, at first, we don't really know, but we're going to learn about Rahab's life. And 2 things kind of jump out at me. First of all, that again, it kind of shocks me that God would use this person because she's labeled. She's not, especially in our culture, necessarily the person that you would say, this is the most trustworthy person. Honestly, in a Canaanite city as they were, their culture was very different. And so she might have had more respect in their culture or a bigger place in their culture than in our culture a person like that might be thought of having. She certainly has a fairly large home, big enough to hold her family and these 2 spies to stay there. Also, the fact that she is lying might throw you off. Does God honor someone lying? Lying was a part of the Canaanite culture. This is the way they did things. It was really universal, and so it might not have been as much a struggle for her. Also, because it's at a stressful time, most people would say, well, I could understand why she might bend the truth or why she might lie in this case. But here's what I think sort of jumps out, even if you look at this. God does what only God can do. And God uses people who are flawed, imperfect. That's good news for me, good news for you, because that means God uses us also. And God changes us. It's not that He's looking for perfect people, people who have everything put together, do everything right. But God is looking for people who believe Him and trust Him, and He changes them. He uses them for His own plans and His purposes. That should put a great confidence in us that even in the struggles that we're going through, that God knows what we're going through, and through this time, God might change us into different people when we come out of the quarantine than we were when we came into the quarantine. Here's what it says beginning in verse number 8 of chapter 2. It says, before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk with them. I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For we have heard how the Lord made the dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. So she's referring to 40 years earlier, when Moses led them out of Egypt and they crossed to the sea. They remember, they have heard the stories. She couldn't have been as old as a little child at this time, if she was even born at this time. But she remembers the stories. And the stories are continuing to circulate about how God rescued them, how God did these miraculous things to take them out of Egypt. And she goes on to say, and we know what you did when you completely, or when with Sihon and Og, the 2 Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. So we know how God protected you recently through this. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens and above and the earth below. So this is not Israelites saying this. This is a Canaanite woman. And she's the one who is saying, boy, we've heard about God. We know who God is. And we have this great respect and this great fear for who your God is. This is something that these two spies could not possibly have known. It's a big contrast also from 40 years earlier when the 12 spies go in to spy out the land. And if you remember that story, 10 of the spies come back and they give a bad report. Not because the land wasn't wonderful. They said, oh, the land is incredible. Just look what God has prepared for us. But they have soldiers. They have armies. They have giants in the land. Their cities are fortified. There's no way we can take this land. And so they give in to the fears of those things around them rather than the fear that they should have, the respect that they should have for God. I want you to think about that for a minute. What motivates your life? Somehow, Rahab has picked up a greater fear of God than she has for even her king or her own people or the things that the 10 spies feared 40 years earlier. Now, she is the one that has a fear of God and a respect of God greater than those things. I think that there are four things that when you look at this, for me, they just jump out about the faith that Rahab has. The first thing is her fear. How she tells them stuff. There's no way they could have known this. They looked at the 40 years early, the 10 spies said, we were like grasshoppers in their sight, and they must have looked at us the same way. Now they go in to find out that the people in Jericho fear them. This is something that God has done in the hearts of these people. It would be clear to these spies that God has moved and God has done something that they didn't do before. The second thing is, I think you're going to notice Rahab is bold. See, the fear that she has of God has not made her timid. It didn't make her shrink back. Instead, it made Rahab bold in her statements and later even bold in what she decided to do. She also, I think you'll notice here, Rahab's kindness. Because she looks to God and she knows something about God, she's heard things about God, she shows kindness to these men who have come representing Him and asks for kindness to be shown to her. So there's a change in Rahab's heart. It's not mean or arrogant. Instead, there's a brokenness that's there that causes her heart to melt before God and to show kindness to these who represent God. And then the fourth thing that jumps out to me is her actions. I mean, she just didn't talk about it. She decided she was going to act upon it. She was going to do something because of who this God was that she had heard about. So here's where we pick up in the story, in verse number 12. Now swear to me, she says, by the Lord, that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families. We offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety, the men agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land. Then Rahab, since Rahab's house was built into the town wall, she let them down by a rope through the window. So again, she must have been a fairly prominent person to have a home that was built into the city walls, and there was some sort of window opening where they could be let down, and she uses a rope to let them down on the other side of the wall. And in verse 16, it says that she told him, escape to the hill country and hide there for 3 days from the men searching from you. Then, when they have returned, you can go your own way. Before they left, the men told her, we will be bound by the oath we have taken only if you follow these instructions. When we come into the land, you must leave the scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down. and all your family members, your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your relatives must be here inside the house. If they go outside into the street and are killed, it will not be our fault. But if anyone lays a hand on people inside the house, we will accept the responsibility for their death. If you betray us, however, we are not bound by this oath in any way. I accept your terms, she replied. And she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. Now, before we go into the next verse, you know, there's a word picture here. So she uses this rope that is dyed scarlet, and it sort of has the picture when they were leaving Egypt of them painting the doorposts. It's an entryway into the house. And painting the doorposts with the blood of the lamb, the scarlet blood of the lamb. Here you see another tie into that same idea that eventually points to Jesus himself, where she uses a scarlet rope to let them down, and they say that will be the sign, that will be the mark that will protect you, your parents, your children, anyone that's in the house will be protected. The same way that the house in Egypt was protected, that was painted with the blood of the lamb. And then it goes on to say in verse 22, the spies went up to the hill country and stayed there 3 days. The men who were chasing them searched everywhere along the road, but they finally returned without success. Then the two spies came down from the hill country, crossed the Jordan River, and reported to Joshua all that had happened to them. The Lord has given us the whole land, they said, for all the people in the land are terrified of us. It's nothing that the spies did. It was nothing that the people of Israel did. This was all something that God himself had done in the hearts of the people of Jericho. And the spies realized, they were reporting to Joshua, listen, he has won the battle for us. He has changed everything. Everything is completely turned over, upside down, different from when we first came 40 years ago and the people cowered away. And God uses Rahab, uses such an unlikely person as they're coming now out of quarantine and into the promises that God has given them than when they went into the 40 years of quarantine. Rahab's also not just an Old Testament character. Rahab is also a New Testament character. In fact, Rahab is mentioned several places in the New Testament. Let me show you a couple of them. This is in Matthew, chapter number 1. Matthew is one of the Gospels, and Matthew has a list of genealogies. They may bore you a lot of times. You may say, this person begat this person, but they're actually important, and when you read them, there are some surprise entries in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus himself. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 5. It says, Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. So when Rahab leaves and goes with Israel after the defeat of Jericho, Rahab marries a man named Salmon. He's a very important person, very prominent. And she becomes a part of this new family of faith, even though she's Canaanite, she becomes a part of the Hebrew family. And she has a son named Boaz. And you may have heard Boaz's name before, because in the Old Testament there's this book called Ruth. And it says next, Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. So two women are mentioned here, because specifically Matthew wanted to make sure you understood who the mothers were. And then it says this, and Obed, the father of Jesse. You might have heard that name before, because the next verse says Jesse was the father of David, the king. Yeah. God used Rahab in the line of King David. And Jesus will come through the line of King David. Why would he use Rahab? She was a harlot. She lied, you know, to get these things done. Because apparently God is very impressed by her faith, her trust. There's a change that had occurred in her life so that her hope and her trust, her fear, healthy fear, was of God himself, Jehovah himself. In Hebrews, there's this one chapter that's called the chapter of the heroes of faith. In fact, there's this roll call of people to the Old Testament who by faith trusted God and God did things for them. He fulfilled promises to them. He moved among them as they lived their lives. And here's what it says in Hebrews 11, verse number 30. It says this, "It was because of her faith that Rahab the prostitute did not share the fate of the disobedient." It's speaking about those who died, the disobedient, in the 40 years of wandering because they did not trust God. And so God let a generation of people die off over that 40 years. And so only those who trusted Him and believed Him would be left. And it says, goes on to say, "For she showed her faith in the true God when she welcomed the Israelites sent out to reconnoiter." Now, I use this translation just because of this word. This is Phillips' paraphrase of the New Testament. It was a modern paraphrase in 1959. So you might think, I've never heard that word before. I had not either. I didn't remember ever hearing it before. But to reconnoiter is to go out and do reconnaissance work, to come up with a plan, to look at a city and a place, which the spies did. And it was actually because of Rahab that these spies were able to do this, make their plans, come back and report with all this great courage, with all this great positiveness about how the fear of God had come upon their enemies in a negative way, but the fear of God in their life was a very positive thing that motivated them and caused them to have the strength and courage to go and take the land that God had promised. And then finally, James, who is the half-brother of Jesus, he writes a book, and if you remember in the New Testament, James talks a lot about faith, but James brings works into the picture because James talks about people who say, I have faith, I believe, but nothing changes in their life. They don't do anything different. Not that you earn God's favor by works, but true faith, believing God and trusting God, naturally produces something in our lives. God is able to make a change in us, and we learn to stand and we learn to walk by our faith in trusting God. And so James comes out very clearly in a very strong way to challenge anyone who would say, yeah, I believe in God, but I'm just going to go do the old things. And he uses Rahab in this challenge. This is what he says in verse 25 of James chapter 2. He said, the same Rahab, the Jericho harlot, wasn't her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape, that seamless unity of believing and doing, wasn't that what counted with God? Of course it was. She didn't just believe. She didn't just fear God. Her boldness meant that she boldly acted. She did things that could have been very costly for her with her own king and were their own people. But she believed and she trusted God. And she put the weight of her hope, the weight of her life on this new faith, on this trust that she had in Him. You see, when you come out of a quarantine, when I come out of a quarantine, we have a chance to reconsider, think about things. Where's my life going? What am I living for? Because sometimes when you go into a quarantine, you recognize maybe I've been living for the wrong things. Maybe I've been spending too much time recognizing things I shouldn't be recognizing, or too much time feeding these fears in my life that have nothing to do with trusting God and believing God. Why am I doing that? Why don't I feed my faith instead? Why don't I go and spend time with God, listen to God? Why don't I go and say, God, let's evaluate my life and what I'm doing. And You lead me. You direct me. You show me the things that matter to You. Because my future and my hope is all based on You. It's all hinged on who You are. Not the culture around me, but the God that I serve. The God that Jesus came to bring me back to reunite me with. I know this is a difficult time. There are a lot of people that think, you know, I don't know what it's going to be like in a week, in a month, this summer, in the fall. But this is also a time that God can really touch our hearts and touch the hearts of people around us. And when all of a sudden people experience someone who's living by faith and not living by a fear of the circumstances around them, somebody who's living by their fear of God rather than their fear of the of governments and people and events around them. All of a sudden, they start thinking, well, maybe that's where I want to put my hope and my trust also, just like Rahab did. It wasn't her people. It wasn't her culture. She was of a foreign descent, but it became her people. It became her culture because God became her God. You know, that's one of the wonderful things about who Jesus Christ is that Jesus did not just come for those who were already born into a certain belief or a certain faith. He came to reach all the people in the world so that they would understand God created them also. And their faith, their, yes, healthy fear of God could transform them from people who are lost and don't have direction and are living for the things that aren't going to last into a people who have faith, a strong faith, a faith that, just like Rahab's, might be remembered for generations and generations, because who knows what God could do or wants to do with your life or my life if we would trust Him, if we would show this fear, this faith, this healthy respect for who God is, and that God is the one who has our future. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the God of all creation, that You are able to strike fear and terror into anyone that You choose because of who You are. And at the same time, Lord, You are able to build faith and trust into the lives of those who look to You and put their hope in You. Father, use our lives. Show us the things that You're not comfortable with, You're not happy with, the things that You have decided, those things need to go. Those things are only holding you back, making you less of who I created you to be. And God, show us the things that we need to feed on, that would make us strong, that would give us a new sense of confidence and courage to trust You the same way that Rahab the harlot trusted You, acted upon that, and You used her life for things that are even affecting us 3,000-4,000 years later. Father, we thank You for Your Son. Jesus came to change everything. That everything that Rahab went through, that everything the people there taking Jericho went through, all still pointed to who Jesus Christ was. The scarlet cord in our life. The one who has covered us with His blood, given us a new future, a new hope, a new life, a new spirit because of Your great love for us. If you've never put your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ, this is the time to do it. During a time of quarantine and saying, God, bring me out of this time, but bring me out a different man, a different woman than I was when I went in. Change me, reshape me, build a new faith inside of me, a new trust, a new hope inside of me. And God, yes, use me in any way You see fit to influence, encourage, build hope into those around me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.